This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I want to see the Warriors get pushed. That's the only team can push them.
This is the Warriors?
The Rockets. So I want to see, I would love to see a 6-7 game knockdown drag-out series.
But you don't think it'll happen?
I don't see it. The Rockets can't beat them. Like I said, I picked the Warriors in five.
Can they win a game?
No. They're not going to win a game.
What if they just have the others hitting a couple shots, Harden, Paul goes off?
Hey, I picked the Warriors in five. I want to tell you, I'm taking the Warriors in three.
They believe in each other. They can get on each other and push each other and do all the right things, and they're all from the right spot. You know, everybody just win, no matter what. Bench was great. Most of them didn't get in. Their energy was key, and just says a lot about character.
Here's Harden with the drive. Oh! A facial by James Harden going right at Draymond Green, and a lot of chatter out there.
Oh!
Anything else you want to say?
Chris, you okay?
Oh, it's nothing like a body-to-body dunk that puts a man on the ground.
I mean, that third game was just one loss. You know, we all know what that is. And we had the mentality that we were going to win game four. You know, we talked about it. We preached it. And, you know, we came out there and didn't stop. They made runs. Of course, they were going to, especially at home. And we just kept fighting, you know, defensively kept locking in, making big-time shots, Chris and Eric and Trevor. Guys made big time shots in that fourth quarter.
We knew over the course of the game at some point we were going to score, you know, so when it did happen, we tried to get some stops. When they made their push in the third quarter, you just know at some point they're going to do it. They're capable of it, but we are too. At the end of the day, we keep saying it game in and game out. It's just a matter of who does what they do better than other teams.
We finally got a game here in the conference finals, people.
As Livingston inbounds, he has Curry. This is for the tie. And that will do it.
Had a look. Well, had a great look.
Can't get a better one.
From the best three-point shooter in the game, in Curry. Right in front of the Rockets bench.
So the Rockets even the series of 2-2.
The city of Houston, we're going to need you. We're going to need you game five. You know, the city's been through a tough time with the things in Santa Fe. But, I don't know. Hopefully basketball can be a way that people can come and ease their minds, if only for a second. So, you know, Houston, we coming home.
Glorious. No, I won't give in. I won't give in till I'm victorious.
Welcome in, everybody. Man, that was fun. After games like that, I go back. I watch every highlight package I can find. I watch every press conference. I'm up till 2:30 in the morning watching replays of this stuff, and I always think it's fun to relive that stuff at the beginning of the show as well, because it was a glorious night to be a Houston Rockets fan last night as the Rockets, hey, their business trip, the goal of their business trip was to take one of two, and they accomplished their goal. They took one of two and took it in, when you consider how game three played out, the most improbable fashion, I think some would say. Because the Warriors punched and the Rockets punched back. All the things we criticize them for over the last 48 hours are things that we are lauding them for today. And these are the fun days to do radio, as the Rockets tie up the Golden State Warriors and they come back here and they get what they would have signed at the beginning of the season for, I'm sure, a 2 out of 3 series, essentially, with the Golden State Warriors, in which the Rockets have home court advantage. Welcome in, everybody, on a wet and rainy Wednesday, but a beautiful Wednesday in this studio because the Rockets are tied with the Golden State Warriors at 2. Welcome into the Triple Threat. My name is Sean Pendergast. To my left, I'm in the right-hand seat today because Rich is out. To my left is 3-time Super Bowl champ Ted Johnson. Ted, what a game.
That was an incredible game. What's up, B-Mac, Shawnee? It's good to see you guys.
And kudos to B-Mac for the montage.
That was great.
Behind the glass.
That was great. Yeah. I have to sit here and apologize and just, you know, a little mea culpa to the Rockets and to any Rocket fan that I maybe have offended. when I doubted this team and its resolve and its grit and its ability to kind of fight back and punch back after they have been knocked down a couple times in the series.
Turncoat.
Man, they showed me a lot. Yeah, Turncoat, you're right. A little bit. What can I say? But I will own up to my mistakes, and when I was wrong, I was wrong. I didn't think they had this in them. Now, well, Ted, they had won 65 games this year, man. You've seen them come back from deficits before. It's been a long time. Been a really long time since I've seen that. And the playoffs is a different animal. And it's in Golden State where it seems like they never lose. And so I was dead wrong on that. There were so many unbelievable moments in this game. The ups and downs. I mean, there was times when you go, okay, it just one seems like it is getting away from this team. And they had an answer every single time. And then the key thing for me, Shawnee, there's going to be a lot of things we're going to talk about today, but 16.7. What does that mean? That's what they were percentage-wise, the Golden State Warriors, in the fourth quarter shooting. They were held to 3 of 18 shooting in the fourth quarter. The defense that is usually around here been optional until this year, locked down, and it was incredible to see. I couldn't be more excited about this team and what the rest of this series might hold for them.
Some will say that the construct of this team will not be fully validated unless they beat the Golden State Warriors and go on to win an NBA title, and that's fine. I think some of those people would be actually in the building over at Toyota Center. Daryl Morey says it all the time, that the goal is to win a championship with this team. Now, that said, we're looking at Game 4 last night, and to me, it is a big piece of validation that the plan that they executed this offseason, which was to give this team a pretty major facelift from a roster standpoint, a cultural standpoint, and a schematic standpoint. And Ted, all of those things played out because there is no way that this time last year, the Rockets, good as they were last year, against any good team, forget about Golden State, just a good team, like San Antonio last year, who beat them by 39 in Game 6. Mm-hmm. There is no way that the Rockets win a game against a good team last season in which they have to respond on the road to 12-0 runs to start the game, 18-3 runs in the third quarter, and I mean the worst kind of 18-3 run, the kind where Steph Curry is bombing threes on you. They don't hold teams to 12 points in the fourth quarter like they did this team. Steph Curry was 1-for-9 after his little stupid freaking shimmy shake that he did.
Oh, couldn't stand it.
He was 1-for-9 after that.
Please get him, please.
And Chris Paul.
Yeah.
That's the key to the whole thing. We've said this many times throughout the season and in this postseason. Game 5 of Utah, most notably, where we say this is why they went and got Chris Paul. You know, there's a lot of rumor and innuendo that the reason James Harden was kind of shut down in shutdown mode in Game 6 last year was a frustration level over carrying that load, that huge load that he had to carry last year because there were no other real creators that you could trust. I know Eric Gordon was on the team, and Eric Gordon was a big part of why they won last night. He kept them in the game early. But Chris Paul is a different animal. He's a Hall of Famer. He's an all-NBA level player. He's Chris Paul. And last night was a Chris Paul game. James was great in the first half. When winning time came around in the third and fourth quarter, this is not a criticism of James Harden. That was Chris Paul's game last night. And to me, Ted, the biggest shot of the game, I know some will say Eric Gordon's three to give a little distance between the two teams towards the end. Trevor Ariza's three-pointer was huge, which, by the way, came off of an unbelievable cross-court bounce pass.
Oh, by Chris along Paul. The little bowling
by
move.
By Chris Paul, like an amazing pass. Yeah. But it was the Rockets. Right. The Rockets were just starting to kind of close the gap. They were down 82-70 to start the fourth quarter.
They were.
They went on a 9-point run. And then Kevin Durant makes a crazy turnaround jump shot from like 22 feet. That you just go, you can't defend it any better, and this is how it's going to be all night. It's 84-79. Chris Paul hit a contested three with no time on the shot clock to make it 84-82.
In the corner, right?
It kind of off to the wing,
yes.
between where the 3-point line starts to curve and the very corner.
Yep.
But like off to the right wing there.
Hand in his face.
Yeah. He misses that, and it felt like Golden State was ready to go on another run. Instead, he makes that. Mm-hmm. Golden State made one field goal the rest of the game. He made that shot with about 6 minutes to go in the game. They made one field goal the rest of the way. Chris Paul was great. The Rockets' defense was great. It was an awesome night.
Chris Paul's the key. You said it. To me, Chris Paul's been the difference for this team as far as just having a personality, setting a kind of a tone, creating a culture. Let's face it. James Harden, look, he's phenomenal at the things he can do. But he needed help as far as leadership, as guidance, as far as just kind of, helping set a culture on this team. Chris Paul has been that guy. And you're right. What he was able to do in the fourth quarter was unbelievable. I mean, he did. He took over. I love seeing Chris Paul going, I mean, jaw to jaw with Draymond Green. That says something about Chris Paul right there. Everybody else kind of fell in line there. The defensive improvement from this team from last year to this year was incredible. I mean, they were the top six defense all season long, right up until right after the first of the year, after the All-Star break, excuse me. And then they became, when Tucker was put into the starting lineup, a top three defense. It was incredible the defense that team was playing last night. I mean, for them to not score a point, you know, it was in the first five and so minutes of the game, and then to have a lead at halftime was incredible. The ups and downs, the play by Chris Paul, just the dunk on Draymond Green, and the missed dunk by him later in the second half was awesome to see, man. If you have any issues with your Rockets team, I got to help you, man, because it was an incredible game and a gutsy performance, and you got to give them credit for just the chutzpah they showed, man. That's what it takes to win, Sean, is to be down on the road in a big-time game, able to come back. That will help them moving forward in this series.
In Game 2, the Rocky analogy was the Russian was cut. In Game 4, the Rocky analogy is they don't think it's a show. They think it's a damn fight. That's how State's got to be feeling. Golden State, Ted, in the Kevin Durant era, has not been in this position yet. Mm-hmm. They haven't been in a position where they're 2-2 in a playoff series and a team goes into Golden State and punches back in a game that was all about, that was a street fight.
It was.
And the Rockets won the street fight against the Golden State Warriors. So the Warriors are even kind of acknowledging that in the post game about how, you know, that this is different. This is a really good team we're playing. I know that the Warriors, Steph and Clay and Draymond have been in their fair share of skirmishes. OKC 2 years ago, the Cleveland Cavaliers that beat them 2 years ago.
Yep.
But this version in which Kevin Durant is inextricably woven into the tapestry as one of the two marquee players on the team, this is not a Warriors group that has been punched in the face like they were last night.
No, you're absolutely right. And I love the fact that they are feeling it right now. They were so physical, the Rockets were on them. So they're going to feel it. You know what? And not only for this remaining series, but for the next foreseeable future, man. This is what the Golden State has got, you know, in front of them now in their conference. So that was awesome to see. Incredible night all around. And I doubted the Rockets that they maybe had the fortitude in this moment on the road, with all that was at stake, to get it done. My apologies, Rockets. Congratulations.
Okay, well, there's a phone call. We're up against it, so I won't take it here. But there's a phone call, Ted, that wants to give you, I think, a little bit of therapy in the next segment over where you are kind of mentally, apologetically right now about this Rockets thing.
So fair enough.
Yeah, we'll take some phone calls. 713-572-4610. Coming up next, let's stay with the Rockets here.
And I regret it because I'm up here with a lot of adrenaline, and I was disappointed in our overall effort, offensive, defense. They're not soft. It's just we didn't play with the amount of force that you need. And I know they didn't think it was going to be easier. They didn't, you know, it just sometimes happens, and they, you know, give them credit or whatever. And, you know, matter of fact, I don't remember that game. I just kind of focusing on what we did right now. They're not soft, and they proved it. So I misspoke, and you guys miswrote it.
Man, why is everybody apologizing for things? D'Antoni just had one of the biggest wins in franchise history. He's apologizing for calling him soft. We come out of the shoot today, and here's Ted. He's all apologetic to everybody about his hot Rocket takes from the last couple days.
That's the way I am. I'm wired that way, man. Look, you know, I've been, you know, not in their shoes, but, you know, I was a professional athlete, so I always would appreciate it if a radio, you know, guy was who's, you know, talks for a living, was kind of after my team and being critical of me. And then he, you know, we did something to maybe prove him wrong.
Did you guys have
then
articles,
I think it's okay,
put to the chalkboard, so to speak, of people who picked you to lose to the Rams?
Look, I didn't.
Did somebody?
My head coach did.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Well, he's got a list.
Keep my track coach of names of people who picked him to lose?
Let me tell you something. Arya Stark's list ain't got nothing on Bill Belichick's list.
You read my mind. I was just going to say, he goes to bed like Arya Stark every night, rattling off about 100 names.
Oh, Peter King, we found out, is on that list.
Right.
So, yeah. Yeah,
Peter King, Malcolm Butler, Matt Ryan.
Mike Vrabel.
Ted Johnson.
Definitely Ted Johnson. Ted Johnson's on there, man. Yeah, I don't know why. I think just it was because I feel like apologizing because of the guts and the balls that they showed last night. That's why.
Yep. A reminder, your next chance to win tickets to Paul Simon at Toyota Center, June 2nd. is coming up at 3:40 today. 3:40 and 5:40. We were in the boss's office after the show, and Ted was like, I can't recognize which songs are Simon and which songs are Simon and Garfunkel. And I only because BMAC already had a bunch of stuff I sent to him on the list for the show today, but I thought about, like, it would be funny if we played a game like Simon and Garfunkel.
Let's play.
5:40. BMAC, you got the whole show to gather a bunch of Simon and Simon and Garfunkel songs.
He's on the phone. But yeah, that would be kind of fun to do, man.
My two concerns, and I'll do these real quick because this is, I was critical of people on Twitter today for calling in and just going in like at a 45 degree angle on James Harden after a win. And I'll talk more about that in Damn Straight Advice. My concerns about what happened yesterday, I thought they fell behind 12-0, Ted, in part because I don't know why they keep trying to give the ball, force feed Clint Capella the ball early in games. Like he's Dwight Howard trying to establish himself.
Yeah, but a lot of it was kind of in pick and roll situations, and they were doing a phenomenal job defending the pick and roll. Yeah. The pick and roll, which has been a weapon for this team all season
it's
long.
Been taken away.
It has completely been taken away, and that's... You saw them trying to get him more involved early in the offense, and now to no avail because they had it covered quite nicely.
The other thing, and this is probably a concern for both teams, especially with the Warriors in light of Iguodala's injury, which, no disrespect, Andre Iguodala, I hope that you continue to be injured in Game 5. I want my team to go to the finals. Mm-hmm. A lot of guys playing 40-plus minutes. I think that's how it's going to be, though, for the Houston Rockets.
Yeah, seven-man rotation, man. It was incredible. Yeah. And Luke Bamute.
The seventh guy is Gerald Green, who you can only have out on the floor for so long.
Right. I mean, and he was doing Josh Smith-type things last night. I mean, just chucking them up, baby. He was 1-for-4. But as you mentioned to me in the hallway, Sean, and it was true, the guy at least brought something on defense.
He brought effort, man.
He had a couple nights, or at least one block that I saw that was really nice.
He blocked Steph on a breakaway.
He had two blocks. He's recorded for two blocks. So he was playing some defense last night, and he just brings energy, which is great. And you know what? If Eric Gordon can play like Eric Gordon played last night, I mean, he came in when they weren't doing anything in the beginning of the game, and he started attacking the rim, breaking it down, starting to get that defense a little bit soft, and then things kind of started opening up for James Harden because of Eric Gordon coming in there and loosening up their defense.
If you're assigning a quarter to a Rocket player, if you're assigning each quarter to a Rocket player, and I know two of the quarters, first and third, they got beaten pretty handily by the Warriors. Conversely, in the second and fourth quarter, they did a number on the Warriors. But if you're looking at the win in its totality, I would say Eric Gordon kept this team in it in the first quarter. He came off the bench and just did some good things, attacked the rim, kind of brought some aggressiveness that they offensively at least clearly didn't come out of the locker room with to start that game. They didn't score their first bucket until about 5 or 6 minutes into the game. They were shut out for the first 5 minutes. So I thought the first quarter was Gordon's. The second quarter was Harden MVP all the way. He was. The second quarter was Harden saying, look, critics, you're not going to be able to nitpick at me tomorrow like you have in other instances. And then I thought the whole second half was Chris Paul with a sprinkle and a dash of PJ Tucker and Trevor Ariza toughness. You know what I mean? Just that grit. I've been very critical of Ariza. I was critical of Ariza last night on Twitter. But a big reason why they shut that team down in the fourth quarter was the on-ball defense by those guys.
Yeah, and Ariza had a bad game one. I mean, like a lot of the Rockets did. But he was physically, I think, you know, Draymond Green was getting in his head, and Draymond was kind of getting the better of him. But you know what? I haven't seen – you could kind of – as a player, you can kind of just, like, allow that player to kind of own you mentally like that, or you can actually – get your dauber up and give something back. And Trevor Ariza has never backed down from him. He's kind of kept going and tried to bring his defensive intensity on Draymond Green as much as he can. And you're right. You mentioned PJ Tucker. Come on, bro. I mean, 16 rebounds. That guy didn't do much on offense. But if he gives you that kind of effort on defense, that is the reason they brought him and Luke Bamute, who was a DNP last night, to this team was because of their defensive toughness, not their offense.
Yep. And I just a quick patting of myself on the back.
Yeah, by all means, go ahead.
The one thing that I did say heading into this series, the reason I thought the Rockets could win this series was because I thought that they had the defensive wherewithal to get stops in the last 2 minutes of games. And they did that. They got stops in the last 6 minutes of that game last night. Now, granted, I thought it was going to be mostly because of the versatility that this deep bench that they had would bring to the table. You know, hey, look, they can bring Bamute in these situations. And boy, Eric Gordon sure does bring some toughness, and Gerald Green brings a little something different. At the end of the day, it's the starting five that are in there at the end of the games defending. You know, it has nothing to do with the depth or the versatility on this team. It's just that the starting five on this team is Those are five tough sons of bees.
Well, they didn't have Capella in there towards the
end. At the end of the game, they did?
Yeah, they had Chris.
Did they have Gordon in there?
They had, that's it.
Three guard rotation.
They had Tucker as the five. Yeah. You know, they had CP3, James Harden, PJ Tucker, Eric Gordon, Trevor Ariza.
Yeah.
That was the lineup at the end of the game, man. And it was because of the versatility that you know, the smaller lineup can bring. Capella was, look, we all know Capella for a big man is about as good as it gets defending smaller guys on the perimeter. But when he was doing that early in the game, they were just going right on by him. So he was more of a liability in there at the end of the game.
I'm anxious to see Capella in these last couple games of the series here, last two or three, however many it's going to be, of the series here, just because it's been a bit of a rough series for Capella at the offensive end. Like you said earlier, Ted, they've taken the pick and roll away. So the touches that Capella gets at the offensive end are extremely uncomfortable. You know what I mean? Like, he looks like a baby deer out there when he's touching the ball in anything other than a dunk situation. He looks awkward. He looks nervous. He's turning the ball over.
Yeah.
And I still think he's going to get a max offer from somebody, and I still think the Rockets are going to match it, because over the course of 82 games and a postseason, I still think they feel like he's perfect for what they want to do. He is what they envisioned having when they signed Dwight Howard, just kind of a skinnier version of it. But this has been a rough series for him at that end of the floor.
Yeah, no, it has. And it's funny, though, because this team was designed with one thing in mind, to beat Golden State, right? But they don't need Capella maybe as much in the series. They needed him in the first series, and they needed him in the second series.
They did.
Big time.
And he was great in those two
series.
He
was. So, you know, they love Clint Capella.
They do.
He's getting a max offer, and he's exactly what you said, Sean. He's perfect for what the Rockets do, maybe not for what other teams do.
He may not be perfect, but he's perfect for them.
He's perfectly
perfect.
As
they say in relationships, she may not be perfect, but she's perfect for me.
That's it.
So David is on the southeast side, and he's got something he wants to tell you, Ted. David, welcome into the Triple Threat.
Hey, I appreciate it, guys. What's up, Teddy? What's up, Sean?
Hey, buddy. How you doing?
Hey, great win for the Rockets. Ted, I just wanted to tell you, I appreciate you apologizing, but you know what? As a Rockets fan, you don't have to apologize. Just listening to what you said about how you, when you were a player, you wanted to hear an apology from someone, you know, who does radio for a living. And I get that. So I've never been in the position that you've been in. But as a Rockets fan, you didn't have to apologize. The way they played in game three, losing by 41, and then coming out in the first quarter the way that they did, they just didn't look like they wanted it. It didn't look like they wanted to win. They had no energy. They had nothing. But then, you know, as the game went on and we got the victory, now they've really showed us that they can do it and they can beat the Warriors in game five. Hopefully that's what happens. Mm-hmm. But you, Ted, you didn't have to apologize as a Rockets fan, because I think every one of us felt just like the way you did going into game four, along with that first quarter, the way they were playing. So you ain't got to apologize to me as a Rockets fan.
Yeah.
I appreciate that,
the phone
man.
Call,
that
Dave.
Was,
yeah,
that was
appreciate
nice
you listening.
Letting me off the hook, man. I appreciate that.
You only have to apologize if you do something unfair. And I don't think any of the analysis on this show from you, we've differed in opinion, you, me, and Rich, on this thing, you know, slightly across this journey through the postseason. But I don't think anything you've said is unfair. That's the only time you need to apologize if you said anything unfair.
Yeah, you know what?
Unfair.
But there was doubt. There was doubt in my mind. And I've seen, you know, the Rockets do things this year that I haven't seen a team in recent history on the Rockets do. And so I should maybe have kind of, like they have been saying, the Rockets players and Mike D'Antoni, like, look, we're good. We're fine. You know what? We've done this before. We're going to be okay. That kind of thing. But I did doubt them. And it's funny. I wrote down this Chris Weber's keys to the game.
Okay.
So you're right, David. Thank you for letting me off the hook. I appreciate that, buddy. That's kind of you. This is kind of an outsider's, a non-Rockets, a unbiased opinion, if you will. Chris Weber, who called the game, his top three keys for the game last night for the Rockets. This is what was kind of, you know, he's got to be thinking the same things that David, maybe you were thinking, I was thinking going into this game, was keys to the game for him. Number one, pride. Take some pride into what you're doing. Wow. The fact that you'd have to say that is a little absurd. Considering what was at stake. Defensive effort was another key part. And then giving them the first punch. That was his number one thing. Make sure you come out and give them and deliver your first best
punch.
Two
out of three ain't bad.
So that's kind of, you know, when you look at keys to the game, I'm always fascinated by if one of the keys to the game is to I don't know, show up, mentally be there, actually play hard. That one is always a bit of a head scratcher for me, but the boys delivered last night. All this stuff is out the window, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. Let's get one more in here before Damn Straight Advice. We're doing Damn Straight Advice at 2:40. If you want to start texting in your questions to the DWIattorney.com text line at 713-572-4610, feel free to. To the north side we go. And Johnny, what's going on? Welcome to the Triple Threat.
What's up? Hey, yeah, bud. My question was, what do you take away from a game that, you know, really they should have lost last night?
Why do you think they should have lost? Why did Golden State deserve to win that game?
Well, I mean, they went up 12-0 in the beginning of the game. I mean, the second part of my question is they won. So they did everything to lose this game. They ended up pulling it out the very last. And then goes to my second part is what are they saying in Oakland about Golden State and their helter-skelter and their disappearing acts? Because we're talking about the Rockets in that way. They have all the right to say the same things about Golden State.
They do. That's an interesting question. Appreciate the phone call, Johnny. That's an interesting question because this is, as we alluded to in the open, Ted, this is foreign territory for the Golden State Warriors, especially this group of Warriors with Kevin Durant. You know, to coming off of Game 3, like we listed all the times the Rockets had pulled a Game 3 over the last 4 years. So, unfortunately, the familiarity was what was making us so hot the last couple days. It would be interesting to listen in on the Golden State, on the Bay Area radio shows today, to think if this is like, if they're kind of mirroring what the players are saying. The players seem to think this is a blip on the radar screen, while acknowledging that the Rockets are the best team that they've faced probably during this run that they've had. But I would be curious if fans in the Bay Area are nervous about this. I would be a little nervous.
Yeah,
two out of three, man. This is a different animal now. The Rockets have proven they can beat you here, they can beat you there, and now it's 2 out of 3 with two of those games on the Rockets.
They have to be a little bit worried. Like you said, for the first time the Russian bled. They made them lead in Game 2. You saw them get knocked down to the ground, and then you saw them win a game in a place they hardly ever lose, at least in the postseason. It's been 2 years, and do it with overcoming a 12-point deficit in the fourth quarter and beating them at their own game a little bit, Sean. I mean, getting out, out-rebounding them, out-toughing them, out-gritting them, and then, being a lockdown defensive team at the end of the game. They showed something I think the Golden State Warrior fans haven't seen from a Western Conference opponent, in a few years here.
Yeah, they... I agree with that. The part of the call that I don't get is the part where he said that the Rockets deserve to lose. If the Rockets deserve to lose, that means Golden State deserved to win. And you got to show me where in that game Golden State did something that says they deserve to win. He goes, well, they went up 12-0. Yeah.
Yeah.
And the Rockets came back. They also had an 18-3 run in the third quarter. And guess what? The Rockets came back. You and I were talking before the show, and I said, you know what? Mathematically, the most opposite thing that could have happened from Game 3 to Game 4 would have been the Rockets winning the way they did in Game 2 by like 20 points. To me, the way they won in Game 4 was the most opposite way to win versus Game 3 because they punched back after getting down in that game. You know what I mean? Like, it would have felt a little less opposite if they were just front running the whole time.
Yep.
But the fact that they did things in Game 4 that we wanted them to do in Game 3 during that game and they came back and punched is huge.
That the three-point barrage they had in the third quarter, most teams are down and out. The Rockets came back, and that's got to scare those fans.
Yep.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.